CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're on once again. It's another beautiful Wednesday. It's been another great week of advertising. I love how I always say that, actually. I love how I always just like, kind of assume that it's been a great week of advertising, even though we know that there's been some crappy stuff out there as well. But yeah, generally it's been another great week of advertising because we still exist in the world of advertising. It's been happening. There's been stuff happening out there. There's some new accounts that have been out for pitch. I read recently that Strongbow, I think I might have spoken about this last week though. Yeah. Strongbow has also moved, agencies, in accordance to, you know, like I think they're doing a whole move around, happening out there, in the world of alcohol advertising because of the, and I think that big sale that just happened has something to do with it. You know, when you're being bought by people from overseas, ask any local agency. When the people from overseas buy you, yeah, they kind of start to instruct you what to do, which is, I think, what's happening on that side as well. But congratulations to the agency that won Strongbow. Let's talk about, like, just the branding of stuff that's been happening out there. Remember, you hit me up, send me your tweets and we'll chat about some of these things I'm going to mention right now. Remember, my Twitter handle is @blaxem, @BLAXEM on Twitter, or hit me up on Cliff Central. That's @cliffcentral.com. But yeah, how the hell is this Fees Must Fall thing that's happened? You know, I always try to bring it back to the land of branding and how essentially that brand has just changed. You know, so the Fees Must Fall brand has essentially changed because, you know, it started off and all of us were kind of behind it. And most of us were kind of behind it. You know, there are all those people who still kind of had weird opinions about it, but we're not going to talk about that today. But yeah, and then all of a sudden it turned ridiculously violent. Some people saw the opportunity, saw the gap. And then all of a sudden there are people jumping into the stores, into Puma stores, stealing sneakers. And there are people, out there jumping into all types of stores in Bloemfontein and just running amok, really. So, has that tarnished the brand Fees Must Fall? Has that changed the brand Fees Must Fall for you? But yeah, I mean, once again, this is not, Kolani Kwala. You know, we're not here talking, all types of political things. Ah, there it is. There's Triumph in the background. You can hear it now, right? It's fixed. Balisa, let's fix this entire thing. Shout out, Balisa. Thank you. So that's one thing. But then another thing I read about. It's amazing. So there's this huge craze that's happening in the US and in the UK, and I just think that stuff just doesn't apply to us for obvious reasons. But there are apparently these people who are dressing up as clowns, right? And they're just freaking people out all around the UK, all around the US. People are dressing up as clowns, just showing up in places, and people are freaking the fuck out. So people are like, this is stuff like crimes could be committed, and these people have been like, have got these painted faces, and no one knows who they are, so they could, and people are properly freaking out. Now, I don't actually understand what the whole thing is about. I mean, clown face, balaclava, do those things live on the same plane? I don't know. But what it has done though, is that the guys at McDonald's, now you knew it was always going to affect them, right? The guys at McDonald's, you won't believe this. They have essentially asked Ronald McDonald to just start showing up less in their stores, in their advertising or whatever. They're just going to pull him back a little bit because, you know, there are a whole bunch of clowns out there giving Ronald a bad name. How? So now the people at McDonald's have had to rejig the entire thing. It's amazing though that they never pull back Hamburglar. It doesn't really matter how much crime has been happening out there. They never pull back Hamburglar. But here we go. They've pulled back Ronald McDonald because the clowns are out there committing crimes and freaking people out. That's beautiful. I love that. That is the world of branding for you, ladies and gentlemen. That is what happens when when life actually doesn't imitate art. When life dictates art. When real life criminals go and dictate what brands are out there doing. But that's amazing. That's crazy. But yeah, so shout out to all you clowns out there. Not the metaphoric clown, but the real clowns who are out there dressing up and changing the way we view hamburgers. Anyway, I've got a dope show for you today. If you've been following me on Facebook or on Twitter, you might have heard that I've got a great guest with me here today. Some of you might have encountered him. In fact, I think you might have encountered him before. I thought I was gonna have him and his partner here, but you know, I think he kind of said, you know what, stay back. Let me handle this one. and some of you might recognize that laugh by now. It's a guy I've had the pleasure of working with for quite some time now. And any of you who have worked with him also know that I think today's show might get a bit lit, you know, because you know him. So I just want to say welcome to the show, Mr. James Clutie.
How's it, Ben? How's it going?
I'm well, man. I'm well. Hold on. Something. There we go.
I like there. It.
Hey, man, sound effect. Sound effect.
Canned applause. I've never had it before. It's better than sardines. Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. Yeah. So, yeah, guys, James Clutie is out here hanging out with us today. He's now with an agency called Pangea Ultima. James, talk to us, my man. What's Pangea Ultima? What's that about? What's Pangea Ultima? What are you guys working on right now?
Well, there's the long version and the short version, but we've got like 40 minutes, so I guess I'll do the long version.
Okay.
So we just celebrated our first birthday on the 1st of September.
Shout out. That's what's up. You didn't see that coming, did you? That's right.
Yeah, so...
Who's we?
Pangea Ultima? Pangea Ultima was originally founded by myself and Gareth Lessing.
Right. Shout out Gareth Lessing. That's who was supposed to be here as well, but, you know, has been held back. Yeah.
And then, we have some other shareholders. And we began with quite a simple premise.
Right.
Which is, like everyone, we feel that there's something a little bit broken with the traditional ad agency model.
Hey, and how? Yeah.
So, and there are a number of sort of, I think there's a number of issues in the industry, and I guess Pangea Ultima is our attempt at fixing some of these things.
Okay, excellent.
So, in terms of issues in the industry, I think the one thing which was always a frustration for me working in big agencies was the notion of actually achieving true integration,
right,
in terms of an idea across multiple channels.
That's right.
Because inevitably what happens is either you're in a big shop, which has got lots of different departments, but the departments all run on their own profit and loss sheet. They all have their own MDs, they all have their own executive creative directors, their own creative staff.
Yes.
Then, you know, let's say you have now come up with the sort of the lead idea.
Yeah.
Which traditionally has sort of always fallen underneath the sort of the ATL agency or department. So now, you know, you come up with a wonderful campaign idea, a big idea, if you will.
As they are calling them.
And, you know, let's say, for example, in your big idea, you happen to have a TV ad, and in the TV ad is a nodding dog.
Right.
And then you go and you brief all the other agencies. And then... you know, the digital guys come back and they've made you a website about nodding dogs. Yeah. And you're like, no.
But that's not the idea.
That's not the idea.
It just happens to be a nodding dog. Oh, I know this fun. Yes.
So there's that thing. Okay, so difficult to sort of achieve integration when you have different creatives thinking about executional thoughts against a big idea across multiple channels. So that's one thing which for us, can we fix that?
Right.
Should not... The same people who crack the TV also crack the digital, also crack the outdoor, also crack the radio, etc. So this is one thing. The next thing is, with most big clients, what lands up happening is they don't just have one agency, even one big agency. They've got multiple agencies.
Yes.
So now the complexity is... worse, but then what you also have is now said poor client must now have, you know, a status meeting with the activations agency, their events agency, their ATL agency, their digital agency,
right,
etc. And now they're having five status meetings a week. And also trying to manage all this complexity, but they're also paying for 5 different MDs and 5 different ECDs and 5 different creative departments, etc., etc., etc. So, back to Pangea Ultima.
Yep.
Our idea is quite simple. A small, highly skilled, creative and strategic department
right.
that do all of the thinking.
Yeah.
And then what we do is we partner with specialists when it comes to the actual production of these elements, in exactly the same way that we've always worked with a production production house.
Yeah.
I write a TV ad. Exactly. I don't shoot the TV ad. I get someone who's really expert. Good
yeah.
with cameras and things, and they come and make the TV ad. But right. I'm guiding that process.
Right.
So same thing here. You know, I will partner with digital ninjas to
yeah.
do the development and, you know, the very specialist sort of things like analytics and social
yes,
listening.
Yes, yes, yes.
However, I'm not asking them to crack the idea. I'm going, here's the idea. In
sure.
your sphere of expertise, can you help me to produce this in a way that will make it better?
Hey, 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 James. It sounds like you guys are breaking the system.
We're trying very hard to break the system.
And but like how does something like that work when it comes to revenue? Right? So does that mean that all the revenue kind of, you know, you don't necessarily have to go into all the details. They might be actually giving away your business model. But, you know, like, is it
a matter? We bill centrally.
You bill centrally?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So, and you know, in exactly the same way as you would with a production house.
Yeah.
So then, you know, then those are the people who partner with us. We then have a supplier agreement with them and we pay them as a supplier. Or sometimes we will... And this does start to go into our business model slightly,
yeah.
but we do sometimes yeah. Create a partnership deal with them on a particular project, and
yeah.
then we would agree a certain percentage split of the revenue.
Ah, okay.
That's
dope. Because when I was reading up on your agency, it also said we also kind of see ourselves as the Uber. Of advertising.
Yeah,
that's a big call, eh?
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And we don't even
like
have
that?
Any cars
yeah.
or an app. In fact, one of the guys who works for me doesn't even have his own car.
That's nice.
But that's by choice.
Sounds like advertising. Sounds a lot like advertising. No, but is it because that's how you see yourselves? Like you guys are, you own the model, and then like, you know, the cars come to you and the cars deliver the people, and that's pretty much where your relationship with those cars to extend
yeah,
the metaphor.
I mean, it was quite a... essentially what we're saying is the cars in that particular analogy are the other sort of production entity.
Yeah.
So, you know, we own the system, we
right.
own the idea, we manage it, we make sure that our clients get to and from.
Yeah.
But we don't own the car.
That's true. Pretty much the way Uber is. So that's great. So but then do you guys have your own, almost like, do you have like suppliers that you always access, or do you have like a directory? Like, you know, like when you're going to shoot, when you're going to record a radio spot, and the producer gives you that yellow book with all the faces. So do you guys have a big directory of all the people you work with? Can people just hit you up and just say, hey, James, if you're looking next time for somebody who paints taxis?
Absolutely.
You know? So which one is it? Do you guys own
it's
like?
Both.
Okay, cool.
It's both. So we have certain suppliers who we partner with on a more regular basis.
Right.
You know, one such example is in the activation space. We tend to partner a lot with Black Ops. In the
eventing right.
space, we partner quite a lot with Event Therapy. You know, but, and then also, you know, what our model allows us to do is in those instances where a client already has a supplier in a given space, we can, of course, partner with their agency who they have. But a lot of the time what we'll do is we will bring in whoever's best for that particular job,
right.
as you would again for a TV ad. You know, sometimes you're going to work with Velocity, sometimes you're going to work with Egg, etc., etc.
Oh, okay. No, that's dope. That's dope. Because, I mean, I think what is happening out there is the fact that, like, a whole bunch of people frustrated by the model, like you've been, kind of went out there and opened their own shops, But it feels like it's kind of counterintuitive if we're all going to be opening the same shop that irritated us back in the day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And,
exactly
and,
right.
And so I guess what I'm asking is, how much do you miss the old model? You know what I mean? And do you miss the old model? And other things from the old model that you've carried through into your business that have made it actually work better?
I don't think I miss anything from the old model. I do, however...
I sense it undertone.
No, I'll tell you what I do miss.
Yeah.
Being a small agency, you know, and very much still in startup mode,
yeah.
I miss things like a PA.
Yeah, yeah. Life is tough out there, guys. It's tough.
You know,
yeah. When you have to pick up your own dry cleaning.
Yeah, you know, it's difficult. Sometimes I have to, like, iron my own
shoes. Yeah. No, but you're right. I mean, I think some of those functions that you took for granted before, I'm sure are a brand new learning for you now.
No, absolutely. But you touched on something else very interesting, which is there are a number of little breakaways which are happening. And I think it's indicative of some of the broader industry issues.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that's very interesting is you're seeing a lot of young black startups.
Right.
And you're also seeing a hell of a lot of creatives going freelance.
Yeah.
You know, that just used to be... burnt out people.
Yes.
Don't want to have a job anymore, but still need to make money and aren't very good at making steel chameleons to sell in Clarence.
Yeah. But they still got to buy some Jack Daniels. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, got to fund their habits and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you used to have sort of very sort of senior people who were freelancing and being brought in. Now you've actually got a lot of youngsters, you know,
that's
made
true.
One or two ads, they've gone freelance, etc. But what is interesting is there's a wonderful opportunity, which is what we're playing with at the moment with our model, which is giving big clients access to all of these bright young creative minds who struggle to go do their own thing. However, in their own right, they're too small.
Right.
They're too small to go after some of the big clients.
Yeah.
But what we are doing now is we're pulling together these interesting collaborations on project by project basis.
Yeah.
And then that now allows you to give clients access to incredible talent that they want, but they don't want to take a risk on.
Right.
But now I can, you know, overlay that with a little bit of management and a little bit of, adult supervision. And now as a collective,
that is fantastic.
We can also then go up against some of the big guys.
That is great.
So that's exciting.
Yeah. So and have you been able to be, I mean, how are you going out there and kind of letting people know that exists? Or is this another thing that the G-Man, the Ad-Man show is an exclusive to? You know, is this the first time that a lot of people are finding out about it? I guess what I'm asking is, how do you get yourself out there and get those small people to know about you?
I mean, there's, so there's a lot of, you know, this industry is small.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the time, as you know, we know everyone who's doing everything.
That's right.
And what we're also sort of acutely familiar with is the challenges that lots of the little guys are facing.
That's right.
So, you know, now it's kind of having one-to-one conversations with different little collectors and going, hey, you know, love what you guys are doing. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do something together? You know, and there's also a certain amount of opportunity, I guess, in terms of enterprise development.
Got you.
So... you know, there's a couple of little collectors I'm speaking to at the moment. We're like, okay, cool. I've got a nice big space.
Yes, that's right.
With very few people in it.
Yeah. and a big swimming pool. I've seen this place with a swimming pool. I mean, not that I'd use the swimming pool at all, but yes.
Good for, you know, reviews on hot days. So, we're bringing in a couple of these collectives into our space.
Right.
Well, a couple of these individually owned entities into our space going, okay, cool, take some free rent, and let's talk about, you know, how we can work together.
Okay, dope.
Yeah.
So that's really, really cool.
Interesting things going.
That's fantastic. You know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you give the adult supervision side of things and the management.
No, I have adults to do adult supervision.
because I guess that's what I was asking you earlier. You know, like, is it that have you got... so it's you and yourself and Gareth, and then there are obviously the other people who do the...
Yeah, so we've got a wonderful managing partner, Colette Naidu, who keeps us all nicely in check.
Shout out, Colette Naidu. What's up?
Shout out, Collie Pops.
Boom! Yeah. Okay, so that's cool. So she kind of runs the bigger adult conversation part of things.
Yeah, she helps with some of those wonderful things. And then we've got some very interesting heavy hitter... shareholders on our books as well, you know.
Yeah.
People like Mahali Relabitso.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Shout out Mahali.
Yeah, yeah, that's dope. Kellis, shout out Hayden. You know, so we've got some very interesting people
that's
sitting
great.
On our board.
And how involved are they in the day-to-day? Or are they, do they just like have kind of a, you know, a role outside of the day-to-day running?
Yeah, you know, all of these people have got their own busy lives, but we do obviously have sort of key strategic engagements,
completely.
And board meetings, and then obviously it's, you know, very good in terms of sort of opening doors and
business
development. Some of our shareholders, you know, have now taken more of a non-executive role.
Okay.
So at the moment, you know, in terms of the shareholders actively involved on a day-to-day level in the business, it's myself and Gareth and Colette.
Okay, dope. Okay, no, that's fantastic. That's awesome. So yeah, guys, I'm still hanging out with James Clute. As you can hear, it almost always feels like he's on the verge of telling us something controversial. But it's cool because it's cool because we've still got a bit of time. What I'm gonna do right now is that we're gonna take a little break because I don't have to take a break today apparently. There is a commercial because at some point, like
this
I said,
looks like something's breaking here. I don't know.
No. Nothing's breaking, James, please, okay? Nothing's breaking. No. So I do have to play an ad, though, because we have to pay the bills. And then when we do come back, I want James to kind of take us back, you know, a couple of years, you know, to his time in some of those amazing agencies that he's worked at before. You know, we're going to get some of his perspective on what he thinks went wrong with some of the agencies that he was at before. And why he finds himself in this place right now. You know, all types of interesting things.
Sounds like I'm going to be on the spot.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So I'm going to play you an ad right now, then we're going to play a track. And I'm still hanging out with James Clute. Hit me up once again at Blaxem, at BLAXEM on Cliff Central or at CliffCentral.com on Twitter. But right now, it's your man, G-Man, the ad man. I'm still hanging out with James Clute. Boom.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. It's your man, G-Man, the ad man, once again. We're back having a chat with my man, James Clute. Once again, I mean, I play that song and it's completely on purpose because, that's exactly what happened to the Puma store, the other day. And it was rough, man. It was really rough for them. But it's been an interesting chat with James up until now. I think it, yeah, once again, it does kind of bother me where the fees must fall conversation has gone to, and I'm actually very, yeah, it saddens me that it's gotten to where it has because I really would like for it to get resolved very, very quickly. But let's get back to hanging out with James Clute, guys. He's here in the stew, and like I said before the break, you know, I want to find out, you know, because you know, James is one of those people that used to be. I mean, I want to ask him where he started his career. Where did you start? Did you start at Jupiter, James?
No. So all the way back when I was in college, I was going in the afternoons,
right?
And you know, whoring myself out at Leo Burnett for free.
That's what's up.
And,
that's what's up.
Eventually,
shout out to free whoring.
Exactly.
No, not shout out to free whoring. We need to pay the kids. We need to pay the kids. Yeah.
Well, no. Now I want everyone to suffer like I did.
Yeah. no, that's not gonna fly. Yeah.
So eventually, you know, by sheer tenacity and determination and hanging out and pestering the hell out of them.
That's right.
You know, Basil Mina he was Leo Burnett at the time, gave me a job. So I was there for my first year.
Yeah.
Had a good year. Then buggered off overseas for a year and a half. Then came back, and one of my CDs at Leo Burnett was now working at Network BBDO.
Ah, okay.
And then I landed up, you know, he hooked me up an interview with Mike Shalit.
Oh, dope. Shout out Mike Shalit.
Shout out Mike. Yeah. And, yeah, landed up conning my way through the interview and managed to get a job there. So I was at Network for about 5 years.
Ah, okay.
So really cut my teeth there. It was a great shop. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely loved working there. And then had an opportunity to help Paul Warner and the Jupiter Drawing Room on a bunch of pitches.
Okay.
So I left Network to go do that. And that then famously got referred to as the perfect storm. We pitched on ABSA, MTN, Sasol and Neotel on 4 consecutive days.
Yes, sus. Yes, sus.
There was not a lot of sleeping. Very, very fun, interesting, crazy time.
Yeah.
You know, there were people working.
Yeah.
Or people sleeping.
At any given time
of the day. Find one person sitting at a table working, another person sleeping under the table.
Yeah.
You know, but this carried on for a couple of weeks. It was total insanity.
But now I want to stop you there for a second, there, James. I mean, do you think that as a model, not necessarily, you know, the perfect storm is, because that actually never happened since, I think.
Mm.
Now, do you think that is sustainable? I mean, that's that old way of working where you know the pitch process was that thing that was supposed to make sure at the end of it you come out of it feeling like, you know, you either hate this job a lot or you've lost your mind so much that you love it a lot. You know, do you think that model is still sustainable? The crazy let's pitch like that.
None. I think it's fundamentally flawed.
Yeah.
You know, so if you look at something like architecture, or even IT,
you know,
and these big IT projects, what happens is they'll have some type of pitch process.
Mm.
However, the people who pitch will charge.
Yeah.
So, you know, here is $1 million for our, you know, which you need to give us
for
our proof of concept.
Right.
Then if we win, then that $1 million gets taken off because now
we have a relationship now.
Yeah. And also, yeah, now we're going to develop this concept further.
Yes, yes.
But all of that incredible amount of time and intellectual capital that has gone into that is not for free. And it shouldn't be. It isn't in any other industry.
Yes.
So that is if we are going to put together full creative and strategic pitches.
Yeah.
To my mind, a better version would be just do a strategic pitch, which again should be paid for in terms of the resource, but just do a strategic pitch, and then choose your agency based on the credentials and the strategy they're putting forward. Or if you wanted to be really logical, just get the agencies show you their credentials, and then go, you know what, and have a couple of chemistry sessions, and you go, you know what, those guys, there's a good fit here.
Yeah.
They get us, we get them, we can see they've done some nice stuff before.
Yeah.
'Cause the reality is that all of these advertising agencies could do the job.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
They could all do the job.
Yeah.
So, you know, find the ones that you feel you have a good cultural fit with.
Yeah.
And choose them. Don't put people through, you know, a month of or two of no sleeping.
Yeah. And pizza and Nando's.
And pizza and Nando's and heart attacks and Red Bull and have them spend R1.5 million of their own resource.
Yeah. This is true.
You
and in fact, if anything, what happens is they start to hate your agency, your piece of business before they even start to work on it. No, honestly, because I mean, all they're hoping for is that, okay, you're going to sign and say, okay, we're going to come on board. But in that time, there are people who are literally going through therapy.
Mm.
You know, just going, how am I going to come back from this month that I've just had because it's just been so intense. But I mean, the other thing that we always talk about here on the show as well is, you know, the experience versus I want new guys, but I also want experiencing. So like when you talk about credentials, you know, I think it's also worth mentioning that, like, even when you're a startup, the credentials are everything that you've amassed, even when you are at those other places. You know what I mean? So credentials doesn't necessarily mean, or does it? Does it mean the stuff that you've done as that agency, or can
it's
I count? Can
it's
I
something
count
that stuff? We wrestle with. It's
yeah.
Absolutely something that we wrestle with. So, you know, you take someone like, you know, my business partner, Gareth.
Yeah.
You know, he has been executive creative director of a number of shops.
Right.
He has won more awards than Father Christmas has elves.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, for days.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a fantastic history reel.
Yeah.
You know, and then I've made some ads in my past, so I've got a bit
listen
of
to that modesty. Listen to that modesty. I've made one or two ads in my past. Yeah, James. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So now what happens now? You're a new business.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you meet with people and you have to, because you don't have a significant reel or portfolio
as this new business now.
So you have to say, okay, look, this is some of the stuff that the individuals in their own capacity through their careers have done. So you give a sense of their personal credentials. Then you go, okay, cool, and now this is who we are. This is our story. This is what makes us different, and this is some of the work we've done so far.
Yeah.
This is some of the stuff we believe we could do for you.
Sure.
But it is difficult, because what happens is, you know, a lot of the time, especially with big clients, they go, wow, you know, you guys have got fantastic credentials in your own right.
Yeah.
But you don't have much of a trading history. You're too small for us to work. So you go, yeah, but...
Hey, guys, I'm so glad.
What do I do?
I'm so glad white startups are dealing with the same shit black startups are dealing with. All I just want to say is a shout out to the world out there for being consistent. You know, because we're all dealing with the same bullshit. All right, yeah. So sorry, carry on.
No, but it's absolutely, and it really is a mission.
Yeah.
You know, then so that's the big guys.
Mm.
So then you go and you go, okay, well, let's go hunt some little guys.
Yeah.
So you go to some of the littler, you know, the smaller clients, and you know, you go and you put together, you know, your credentials presentation,
yes,
them for 2 hours, and
you take those awkward photos to create the credentials presentation.
Yes. And, yeah. You know, Gareth retouches, you know, my moles off and stuff. And
then why, guys?
Yeah. For me, I see it as another business partner. But hey, so you know, we've been doing this for years.
I mean, please.
So you know, now you go and you sit in front of these guys, and these guys go, "Yo, but you guys are very fancy here."
Yeah.
You know, I think you guys are too big and too fancy for us. So you go, okay, how do I win?
Yeah,
you know, I'm too small for the big guys.
I'm too big.
Fancy, whatever the hell that means for the little guys.
Sure.
You know, so it is, it's a very sort of tricky period, you know, these first couple of years in a startup. You know, but
the hustle trying to find that balance, right?
Absolutely.
That's crazy shit. Okay. So, but I want to take a young step back to talking about, you know, the perfect storm and stuff, and I want to get your opinion, you know, because we've spoken about, you know, recently on the show we spoke about what just happened at Jupiter recently, you know, with the loss of big accounts, like the loss of a whole bunch of big accounts, obviously means something for the future, you know, and I'd be very interested to find out what you think. What do you think happened there? What do you think went wrong? Because we could also be diplomatic and say, you know, but something obviously went wrong. Something. Wait, hold on. Things in their control and things out of their control happened, right? But I think that if we were just talking about one account, I think that we could just blame it on the things beyond their control, international alignments or whatever.
Mm.
But it seemed like there was the trend had been happening, kind of even prior to that. Because by the time they lost the Barclays account, they had pretty much they only had that. Well, they pretty much only had that in this table, outside of the smaller accounts. How do you think you go from that? How do you go from an agency that had the perfect storm, where you win, I think it was R1 billion worth of business in one sitting, to essentially being on the verge of rebranding? Or those are the rumors that are going out there. They'll rebrand or they'll close their doors. Like, what do you think happened there?
I think it's firstly, let me say, I think that the Jupiter Drawing Room is one of the greatest ad agency brands.
Yeah,
that, you
completely
know,
and internationally too. So shout out Jupiter Drawing Room.
Shout out Jupiter Drawing Room. You know, and I think they've had incredible people. I think that the problems might have begun with that meteoric success.
Right.
I think that when you take on that amount of business so quickly, you land up having to pull in a lot of people very quickly.
Mm.
You know, and you're not necessarily going to be as, I don't think you're going to scrutinize
right.
every single person that you bring in as much as you might otherwise have.
So you think this might have been like a personnel thing, like a staff thing?
I think you suddenly put in a lot of people, and some of these people don't necessarily gel. Some of these people are good. Some of these people aren't as good. I also think that you're now, you know, to be very blunt, I also think that, you know, you now had a lot of shareholders now looking at a lot of money, and I think that there may have been a little bit of infighting and stuff, you know. And I think it's incredibly sad.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Renee and Graham is the two sort of primary people who birthed that dream.
Yeah.
I think that they had a really good thing going. And I think maybe it just sort of burst its seams. I think it grew too big too fast, and then I think it became difficult to manage some of those complexities and dynamics. And as you say, then there's a lot of things that sort of happen outside of your control, and there's a lot of bad luck. I think that any agency where you're sitting in a position where you've got sort of one or two big clients, what can also start to happen is you work so hard at trying to keep that one giant happy that then, you know, some of your other clients start to feel a little unloved.
Neglected,
You know, so then they go, okay, no, well, you know, we're not big enough for these guys. Let's go elsewhere. So, and that's really tricky, you know.
Sure.
And then also when you're wanting to then go and build up your business portfolio again, people are going, sure, you know, we're going to be sitting in a queue behind, you know, 10 briefs for that big monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's a tricky thing.
Sure.
And I think it's dead unlucky. I really feel for them.
And it must be tough for anybody who's worked there as well to kind of look back at it and go, damn it, I remember when this was, you know, like a giant. And it still is, to your point. It still is like a giant in name, really. And it really is a big problem. But is this now then a learning that you've taken into kind of this new model now where you're going, look, then I don't necessarily actually run the risk of becoming too big, because then essentially all I'm running is a management model, right? So being too big will never, one, I don't think I'll ever get to that big, or now I have a learning of how to avoid getting to that place. Is that a thing that you think about a lot?
I think that it would be overly ambitious of me to think that I would be walking into a client of that kind of size, you know, in the near future. Of, you know, certainly, you know, within the goals for the future.
Yeah.
But I think that the one learning there is, I think it is healthy for any business to make sure that you've got a varied mix of clients.
Of clients, that's right.
And make sure that you look after each of those clients, big or small, as well as the next.
Right.
You know, so I think putting together a plan to manage your culture and your service delivery as you scale up is a wise thing to do.
Yeah, but you see, you bring up an important thing, which is the culture thing. Because what happens in how you describe your model is that essentially the culture is always going to vary, because your suppliers, your plugins are always going to be different, right? So it means then you are responsible essentially for this culture from the central place. Is there then going to be a time when, like, you know, two guys walk in and they might have the credentials to do the good work, but they're just two assholes? You know what I mean? And then you're just going to go, tech.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think Gareth and I are both of the opinion, and obviously opinions, you know, opinions come from places. So, you know, what I was going to say is,
look at that wisdom, guys. Opinions come from people. What the hell, James?
Let me qualify that a bit. So Gareth and I are both sort of the opinion that, you know, it's not worth working with an asshole.
Yeah,
it really isn't.
I agree with that entirely.
So
I'm a fan of that entirely. Completely. Yeah.
So, you know, and we work in a very high pressure, fast paced industry.
Yeah.
And different people manage their stresses differently, and some people, you know, can sort of maintain their good humor, you know, through it, and some people become
yeah,
you know, a little bit unplayable.
As holy.
Yeah, and yeah. You know, and ideally, you know, you want to have less of those people in your life because we spend so much time at work. So
that's
you
right.
Know, you want to work with nice people.
Yeah.
That said, and this is the opinions come from places, Colin. Yeah. you know, I'm sure there are many people who think that Gareth and I are assholes.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we want to work with our version of nice people.
Yeah.
You know, and we hope that they don't think we're assholes. Yeah.
No, that's great. That's really cool. You know, for me, it's that's a very important part of this conversation. And you know, I actually want to get to the thing that you know that I'm constantly every time we get onto the show, I'm always like, you know, guys, just as much as I don't want us to get to, you know, where we are looting Puma stores, you know, in this industry, but it almost always feels like we're on the verge of it, you
yes.
know. How James, are we actually going to go out there and say we have contributed, or how would Pangea Ultima in say when the 2018, that inevitable 2018
the
comes,
Mac Charter.
Yeah, when that comes in, how would you guys have said you've taken those big strides in actually helping the conversation about getting this industry to start looking
transform.
The right color? Yes.
Yeah. So I think that for the big ships, they're going to be very difficult to turn. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult for a lot of the big shops to rebuild, you know, rebuild on the go. You know, some of those quotas is not the right word, but the levels that need to be met for Mac Charter are significant.
Right.
You know, I think it's 45% ownership. Then it goes down to 50% on the board, one third of that being female.
That's us.
Then it goes down to like 60% senior management, 75% middle management, and I think it's 88% sort of junior management. Now, that is going to be difficult for big guys to achieve. For smaller guys like ourselves, we're building for it. You know,
that's
so
right.
We're already 51% black owned.
That's right.
We already have, you know, black females on the board.
That's
we already
right.
have black female ownership. And then also, again, I think through collaboration, we also start to build something strong. You know, so, you know, what I skirted around earlier is a lot of the, in fact, all of the collaborations that we are forming.
That's right.
Are with hot shop small black businesses.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so again, I think.
That's dope. I must tell you. I think
beyond
really
the political stuff.
Yeah.
The real key is how do you make sure that you are still shit hot?
That's right. You see, for me, and that James is the question that like a lot of people like myself have also encountered when having these conversations with people, and actually gets to a place where you kind of go, this is actually a bullshit question to ask, because people are going, but can we still maintain it? But if you think that you want to remain a shit hot shop, right? Fantastic. You had this what we call a certain standard and a certain quality control, and a lot of people have always thought that bringing in black talent means you might be compromising the quality of your work.
No, that's
retarded.
You know what I mean? Bringing in black for the sake of black, you might.
Yeah.
But bringing in black talent by virtue of
those words
being
together.
We're talking about talent.
Black talent, that's right.
You know, so, and there is a ton of it.
Yeah.
Also, I think it comes down to relevance. I don't think you can make shit hot work if it's not relevant to the people you're speaking to.
This is true.
I know that, you know, we very often like to, you know, circle jerk each other and give each other awards for, you know, stuff
phrase.
That means nothing and never flighted you know, the vegetarian pet shop and, you know, this is...
And Uncle Joe's Kung Fu shop.
And, you know, I go, okay, well, I don't know what meaning or value that has.
Yeah.
But I think that the key beyond Mac Charter, beyond any of that, is how do we make sure that we are making work that's relevant?
Yeah.
And making work that's relevant, and you and I have had this conversation a lot, does not mean that you have to dumb it down. I find that fucking offensive. Excuse me.
Fine. Oh, no. We are here. Don't worry about it. It's fine. No, completely. Because, and that's the thing that frustrates a lot of people, is that we're still finding ourselves like years and years into this conversation. And I mean, we sit down and we have these conversations all the time. And still, when you watch DSTV and you watch Mnet, you kind of shielded. from the bullshit that our people are being fed every day.
Yes.
You know, you go and watch the episode of Generations and see how much puking you're going to do. Not necessarily from Generations itself, because that was its own puke. But how much puking you're going to do from the advertising that you're going to see.
No, it's amazing.
You
know? It's offensive in the extreme.
The jiving doesn't stop. Yeah. The jiving has not stopped. The jiving hasn't stopped
Can
for
we
one
have
minute.
A pot and some dancing, please?
Please. You know what I mean? And the blatant funagalore that's still out there. You know, like people are just like, oh, my man, no one speaks like that. You know what I mean? But you know, that's a whole other conversation. But James, yeah, man, you won't believe it, but the hour's done. The hour flies by. It always does. You know what I mean? I need to, you know, and I'm glad, you know, Gareth has been quite frequent in walking up and down today. So I hope he hears my piece for a show that's about 2 hours long. So we can have more of these conversations. But James, dude, thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having me, man.
I think that a whole bunch of people out there have their eyes have been opened to a new model. And I think for me, what's most important is that we keep interrogating the models, you know, and I think what you guys are doing is very important in changing the conversation from us just waiting to get a phone call from a big agency so they can transform to how are we making sure that we can change the model in order to make sure that everybody else has a new way of doing what we've been doing for a while.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that. For you guys out there, I mean, you guys heard James. They're constantly trying to collaborate with people who are doing big things. I don't know how long their list is yet, but I think bombard him, send him emails, check them out. Go on the web and find PangeaUltima.co.za.
I think me up James@PangeaUltima.co.za.
That's what's up. James@PangeaUltima.co.za. Hit them up. Find out what they're up to. Find out how you can be a part of that. Find out if you can actually be a part of these collaborations he's talking about. Because I think there's something exciting happening out there, and it excites me a shitload. But yeah, the hour's done, and it's been an amazing hour of chatting with James Clutie. Get the podcast. Go to cliffcentral.com. Get the podcast. You can pay it for your mom. We didn't swear too much. James is kind of sore towards the end there, but it's safe. You can pay it for your moms. And like I always say as well, you know, like the podcast, that's the beauty about podcasts. If you missed it right now, you know, you don't necessarily have to listen to it now. Later tonight, when the rest of your family are watching Generations, you can just switch off and you can listen to a podcast. You know, when you don't like Grey's Anatomy, you switch that off. You know what I mean? On your drive in tomorrow. Get the podcast. Get the previous podcast as well. And check out the show because I think there's some really important advertising conversations we're having out here that you need to be a part of. And one last thing, like I always say, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having tequilas. It's G-Man, the ad man. Out. Boom.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.